Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Big Storm Beer is also the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Find the tap rooms and find Big Storm Beer near you right there at bigstormbrewery.com. Yeah, yeah, Buccaneers fans, the signings keep coming. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Order a new vehicle today. No deposit. General Manager Sean Sullivan is going to help you personally, and you get cash back in gift cards. He's going to hand you gift cards. Get to BillCurryFord.com for the information. Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. The official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast is Big Storm Beer and Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the gold standard when you have a disaster in your home or your business. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira Kaufman is the star of the show. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira. Ira, we're jacked up. It's rare that we convene for a podcast, and poof, Leonard Fournette has signed a three-year deal, $21 million. He got top 10 running back money, matching what James Conner got in Arizona, $7 million a year. It's Doug Martin money, so he certainly deserves it and more. Lee DeCamper's here. I'm here. We're JoeBucksFan.com. What's on your mind, Ira?
What an electrifying 8 or 9 days this has been. This is one of the great stretches in franchise history, if you really want to look at it. Look, it's not January, and they're not in a playoff chase right now. What they're doing is putting the components together, and I dare say with Von Miller's departure from the Rams, this might be the best team in the NFC. And 9 days ago, Lee, we were peering into that abyss. Yes, we were. Yes, we were. And we were talking about Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask, and is Godwin going to sign a long-term deal, and what are they going to do with Jensen? And guys, look at it. The guys that were at the top of the priority list in terms of free agency, besides getting Brady back, and we can spend all day on that, but the guys at the top were Godwin, Jensen, Davis, Fournette. Yeah, they lost Jordan Whitehead, and I like Jordan Whitehead, but they made a smart move, and I don't think they'll suffer terribly with that transaction. They replaced Alex Kappa. So what are the negatives here? Well, Ali Marpet retired. Okay. The Rams lost two offensive linemen. The Bucs lost one because they replaced Kappa with a good veteran player. But what I'm saying, guys, is with this Fournette move, this team's ready to compete. This looks like the best team in the conference, certainly the best team in the South. Matt Ryan leaves the division. Another win for the Bucs. This train keeps rolling, Mr. DeCamper.
I would argue the Bucs had the best team last year on paper, but they got beat up by injuries and mental injuries. So the Bucs are basically, you know, to use Jason Light's words, reloading. I don't know what to say outside of maybe the Bucs took a couple hits, but the Rams took more hits. The Packers took a bigger hit. Let's just put it this way. This is a great day. Lenny's back, playoff Lenny. What a great way to start the morning. When have we ever started the podcast like minutes, like maybe 15 minutes after there was breaking news? This is just a great day. What I would like to know, didn't Jensen sign a three-year contract?
Yes.
I know Godwin signed a three-year contract. Playoff Lenny just signed a three-year contract. What do they know about Brady the rest of us don't know?
They know plenty. They know Brady's intentions. Now, look, guys, they have to turn their attention now fully to the defensive side of the ball, and I still got some issues up front. I do. But, Steve, this offense is ready to hum. They averaged 30 points last year. Godwin got hurt down the stretch. They didn't have him. You would think that he'll be ready to go maybe October 1st. Russell Gage is an upgrade over what they had down the stretch last year after Brown walked away. This offense could be very, very dangerous, Steve.
Oh, it already was dangerous, and now that you know there's going to be new dimensions. What I like about this is that the offense seems to have the potential, the real potential, to be more dangerous at the end of the season because Russell Gage isn't going to throw his gloves into the stands. And, you know, Godwin, if he's getting healthy through the first half of the season, you know, he should be in great form by the end of the season. So all that cool stuff. And of course, we still have the draft ahead to add a piece or two if they want to go that direction. But Ira Lee brings up a good point as far as those contracts. So I'll note that all those guys only have 2 years guaranteed money. So in the NFL, all that matters is really the guaranteed money. So 2 years could mean, hey, they know they got Brady for 2 years, or it could mean, hey, we got Brady for 1 year and we want to have a team in place that'll actually attract a free agent to keep that Super Bowl window open. Or you could look at it as, hey, I prefer to look at it as the other way, which is, hey, they know Brady's in it for the long term now. And, you know, until he gets hurt or can't be elite, he's going to hang out.
You know, one more point, Steve, about this offense, which is going to be prolific as long as Brady's healthy. And yes, Keyshawn Vaughn will move up to the number two slot behind Fournette, and he'll get more touches, but he's not going to be the lead back. He will not be the lead back this fall, barring an injury to Fournette. But Lee, we touch on this from time to time. Watching the news conference with Godwin and Light the other day, you can't help but notice Evans and Godwin and Evans, whatever order you want to put them in. Lee, when you look around the league, the history of the league, Davante Adams, that mess. We saw what happened with Antonio Brown. And Lee, I'm not going to say it's a coincidence, because I'm going to give credit to Light and his staff, you know, working on the other side of the scouting, besides the measurables and what the guy did in college. But they do a pretty good job of a deep dive, Lee, into the character of these guys. And it's especially important at the diva position. And Lee Godwin yesterday, he says all the right things. He's a tremendous representative for the organization. We know about Evans with his community work. Unbelievable. Never complains when he gets a game with two targets. Says nothing. I think it's a tremendous advantage for the Bucs to have Godwin and Evans, and hopefully Gage falls in line with these two in terms of their temperament. I mean, they are tremendous teammates.
It's interesting you invoke Gage there. You know, I can't say I know Gage. I've never met him. I don't know a whole lot about him. You know, I cover the Bucks. I don't cover the Dixie Chicks. My observation of the guy, very brief, he seems to be in the Chris Godwin mold. He's like a smart guy, a good guy. And the clips you've seen where he's gone up to Godwin after games and told Godwin, make sure you and Mike both know this. I really look up to you guys. I admire the way you play ball. I've watched you on the other side of the field. That just tells me something, that he's motivated to make himself better. So if he admired Godwin and Evans, and obviously when he told Godwin this, he had no clue he was going to be at the Bucks. And so if he admired these guys and he comes in with the team and he sees how those guys go about their business, I suspect that he's going to be just like them in the sense that, you know, put your head down, bust your tail, and we'll celebrate after a win.
Absolutely. And Steve, I love that story that Godwin told about, you know, Gage playing against the Bucks in the last couple of years and a conversation briefly between Godwin and Evans, like, that guy's nice. He's nice. And Steve, I mentioned the other day that Gage has had some big, big games against the Bucks the last two or three seasons. So nothing beats doing it right in front of your future coach and general manager, Steve. That left an impression.
Sort of like Rich McKay when he went to the Falcons?
Absolutely. By the way, Steve, and I'll let you weigh in on this. The Falcons, what a mess of an organization. What a freaking mess. I don't know who's running that front office. Of course, Rich McKay's involved on the business side. I don't know how much input he's got on the personnel side, but they don't seem to know what they're doing. They don't have a good sense of where they are in the pecking order of the league. Steve, you have to be honest with yourself about what you got and where you're going.
Well, what intrigues me most about Atlanta is I'm wondering, and we'll never get a real answer. Maybe we will, Ira. Maybe as you hang out with Artie Blank at the owners' meetings and you know, put a cocktail in Rich McKay, all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is I'm wondering if when they got rid of Russell Gage, when they let him walk after already getting rid of Julio Jones a couple years ago, after the Calvin Ridley meltdown, and him being out of football. They basically got rid of their only receiver, let him walk. Did that drive Matt Ryan to just say, what the hell's going on here? I'm out. You know, just get me out of here. I don't know. But you think about how much Tom Brady cares about weapons. And then you look at Matt Ryan, a pure professional, a guy who may be a Hall of Famer one day. Maybe, probably not, but maybe. He'll at least be in that conversation, as you call it, Ira. And the team lets his only weapon, his biggest weapon outside of Kyle Pitts, his only receiver weapon, walk out the door. So it's just bizarre. And I'm wondering if the Tom Brady effect somehow found its way to Atlanta, screwed up the whole thing, pulled Russell Gage out of there. And but yeah, you're right. The Falcons are an absolute mess. Marcus Mariota is their quarterback. Apparently the new starter over there. You know, what are they going to run the option? I don't even know what's going on.
You know, these quarterbacks are seeing what the Bucs do for Brady. I mean, wasn't that a bone of contention for Aaron Rodgers? Isn't that what got him griping about with the Packers? Like, hey, look what the Bucs are doing for Brady. Why aren't you doing that for me? So there's no question that Matt Ryan was seeing that. He's in the same division. And that's a great point you make when Calvin Ridley gets suspended and then he lets Russell Gage run away, or he being the Falcons, and then Matt Ryan's like, what the hell? I'm not sticking around here. I got a lousy offensive line. I got no one outside of Kyle Pitts to throw to. I got no one to hand the ball off to. I'm getting beat to a pulp. Why can't I just go to Indianapolis with a decent offensive line, a hell of a running back, and I could probably be in the playoffs again?
They could certainly be looking at the number one draft pick in the 2023 draft. I mean,
wow.
They stink. You might be looking at a 4-13 team very easily. That offense is terrible. Lee, everybody's going crazy with Mariota has been reunited with Arthur Smith.
Oh, please.
Lee, they didn't do anything together in Tennessee. What's the
thing? They let him walk in Tennessee. If he was any good, they wouldn't have let him walk. I mean,
absolutely. This
is all I'm going to say about Marcus Mariota. Number one, love he's no longer coach of the Bucs. So you can forget about those two wins. Number two, please, Marcus Mariota, please run on Devin White and Lavonte David. Please, I beg you, please run on those guys.
Steve, I'll say it again, and I don't think enough people pick up on this point, but the Falcons blew it a year ago. They really did. They needed to look at themselves. Oh, we can't compete with the Bucs, the defending champs. They got Brady. They're much better than we are. We might as well peddle Matt Ryan, take our lumps, and we're going to draft a quarterback in a quarterback-rich draft, and I'm talking about 2021, and we'll get a second-round pick for Matt Ryan, and we'll move on. They didn't do it, Steve. They didn't do it. They threw Ryan out there knowing that they weren't going to be extremely competitive. They took their beating. You know, they finished in the middle of the pack. They didn't make the playoffs. Ryan fights as Ryan always does. I got a lot of respect for Ryan. I think all three of us do. But Steve, they could have got a quarterback in that draft and groomed them behind Ryan. They didn't do it. And now, what are they looking at? They're looking at one of the worst quarterback drafts of the last 20 years, and they're stuck with Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah. You know, Kyle Pitts was taken number four. They easily could have traded down, still drafted Mac Jones, and probably picked up a first-round pass rusher, and they didn't do it. And it's just a mess over there. Like you said, Ira, there's really no way to look at it. Mariota did finish 9-7, but he doesn't have the same team around him now. And Matt Ryan hits lotto. I mean, he goes to an elite offensive line and an elite running game. And he stays with a dome where he's used to playing. And I mean, it's just a jackpot situation for him. But I think it's interesting, Ira, that they pick up Matt Ryan for a third round pick. And it's a low third round pick, meaning I believe the Colts had two third rounders and they sent the worst of the two to Atlanta. And what does that mean for Jimmy Garoppolo on the market? I mean, if Matt Ryan's going for a low third round pick, what the hell's Garoppolo worth? Probably next to nothing at this point.
You know,
Baker Mayfield.
Lee, the Falcons, they've embarked on it's kind of a primer on how not to run a front office. And when you compare them to what's happening at One Buck Place, Lee, the Bucks have done it again. Light did it again. Going in where we're screaming about no money, salary cap squeeze. They got no cash. They got nothing. And it's not over yet. I mean, they could bring back Golston or Sue. I think JPP's gone. and I understand that. But Lee, another masterful job by Light slash Greenberg slash what's her name, Davidson. I keep forgetting. They know what they're doing. Spy Tech, the scouts, collaborating with the coaches, and behind the closed doors, pulling the strings, the Glazers. So they've resurrected the gang. And with all the departures from the NFC, the Bucks are left standing tall.
Okay, Ira, I got to hit you with this. You're a man of knowledge. You're the man of insight. You're the man of contacts at One Buck Palace. You got to give us what you have. Light wouldn't talk about this yesterday when he was asked. You got to help us out. What was going on in London with the Glazers and Brady? You know, like a day and a half after that meeting Brady had with the Glazers, he announces he's returning. What happened in London?
Well, I'll take Light at his word that that trip had been planned in advance. And Lee, Brady doesn't do anything, you know, off the seat of his pants. So it's not like he woke up Friday morning and said, I'm going to Manchester. That didn't happen. You know, the visit had been planned. Certainly he met with the Glazers at the game. It was a jubilant game for Manchester United. They haven't had a great season. But that game happened to be a highlight. Ronaldo scored the hat trick. Yes, Lee, Ronaldo, one of the all-time great soccer players. So when he entered the gates of Manchester United, Lee, Brady knew he was coming back. And you know what? The Bucks knew he was coming back. The Bucks knew he was coming back. They had been in talks with Brady, and maybe Light didn't know it when he said, we'll keep the light on. But shortly after that, Light, the Glazers, Arians.
Wait a minute. Ira. All right, keep going. I'm gonna have to jump on you here.
Hold on. They all had a little bounce in their step at a certain point. Maybe a week before the announcement, they knew he was coming back. And I think that helped shape some of the decisions they made at that point.
Any kind of business decision was consummated? Like Brady was still on the fence, or it wasn't 100%? After he met with the Glazers, it was like, okay, it's a done deal. We go forward.
I don't think so. Now, look, I think they did talk, and there were some things on Brady's mind that he had to get squared away. But I think he had already made his decision. Lee, if you're implying that Brady entered the gates of Manchester thinking, hey, maybe I want to play for another team, and he was talked out of it by the Glazers, I'm not going there. This narrative of the friction continues. I'm not buying it, and I'll say it again. No way Brady comes back to the Bucks if he has, Steve, substantive differences with Bruce Arians. Substantive. No coaching quarterback are going to see eye to eye on 100% of things. But the word rift is being thrown around, friction, feud. That's all crazy, Steve. It's absolute nonsense. Because Brady held all the cards, and if he wanted to go somewhere else, I think the Bucks would have had to accommodate him for compensation, and he didn't do it, Steve. He's not going to go back to a team that he doesn't see eye to eye, generally speaking, with the head coach. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. A key word is substantive. But Sage, you know, the question I think is real that Lee's asking, and I don't think it's far-fetched at all. Brady may have told Arians and Light, hey, I'm coming back. I'm in, but this is what I need. And they may have told him, we got to clear it with the Glazers. Why don't you clear it with the Glazers? Because they, if you talk to them, you'll get 100% success. If we talk to them, it's a 90% chance, and we're just the middleman. We're just the middleman. So I don't doubt that Brady went there not 100% sold that he was coming back, but maybe he needed to hear two or three things from ownership, and we don't know what those things are. Maybe we'll find out, but I don't think he was 100%, 100%, maybe 98, but I don't know about 100. If I had to guess, I wouldn't say he was 100 until he talked to them. Now, as far as the trip, you're right, Ira. Nobody just picks up and goes to London with their two kids with no notice. And we don't even know when Brady flew in there. For all we know, he got there 2 days prior and was hanging out, seeing a few sites, had an actual meeting and in a conference room with the Glazers. We don't know, but very interesting, Ira. I still go back to the Glazers agreeing to buy 1 million bottles of the latest TB12 supplements.
You know, Lee, can you imagine the conversation if it was in a conference room or it was in, you know, a back room of Old Trafford, which is where Man United plays? Lee, no matter where it occurred, I agree with you, Lee. I think there were some things that had to be finalized, you know, on a big level. Maybe not we got to get Russell Gage. I mean, maybe, I don't think Brady said that. I don't think Brady said that to you know, Avi Glazer. But I think they needed I think Brady needed some reassurance, maybe contract details, something like that. He's not getting a piece of the team. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think your point's right, Lee. I think there had to be some things that only the Glazers could answer at that point. And obviously, they answered it to Brady's satisfaction.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Glazer family told Brady, like, you know, I know Brady has this Hollywood production company. Like, hey, right. We'll bankroll a couple of your projects. The only thing we ask is if Ed is a producer.
And can you substitute Blake Lively for Lily Tomlin in the future?
Whoa, Ira's going mainstream here. A Blake Lively reference. I almost want to do a stand and applaud. I never thought you'd reference someone like Blake Lively. Holy cow. Did you have to Google her name?
No, but I know you got her poster on your wall over there at the Kemper. I know
Holy
these things.
Mad props. Ira referenced someone under 50.
Hey, Ira, you made an interesting reference to the chatter that, hey, Brady still has an issue with Arians, and there's still something there to think about. I wrote up yesterday, Seth Wickersham, who works for ESPN, who wrote a best-selling book about the Patriots dynasty, and he considers himself somebody who is close to, quote, Brady's camp, or people coming from Brady's camp. He was on New York radio just last week, Ira. Last week, not 2 weeks ago, last week, talking about how the Bucs screwing up a blitz with 27 seconds left against the Rams, essentially Todd Bowles' coaching decision, made Brady quit. It's basically where he was going with that, and that Brady had to calm down and be sold, and the sales job of Arians and Light, that things are okay, and that we know what we're doing. And he said that's the real story here, is the sales job of Light and Arians over the last month to pull this off, to get Brady to overcome his hesitancy about the coaching and the approach and how Arians is very good, but he's nowhere close to Bill Belichick. Still, they're still doing it.
You proved your football acumen again, Steve. You did to me. I was applauding you because you shredded Wickersham. You shredded him, and rightfully so. Now, look, Lee, this guy's been in the business. He's got a very good reputation. I haven't read his book on Brady, but I'm sure it's good, and I'm sure he's got some sources. But Lee, it's patently absurd to suggest that one blown coverage, albeit that ended the Bucs season, was enough to send Brady over the edge and into retirement, and then it took him 40 days to get over it. Lee, this is football. This is a grown man with all kinds of rings, and by the time it's over, he might have a Super Bowl ring for every finger. I mean, it's possible. And to think that, you know, he's so immature that one blown coverage. Lee, they weren't as good as the Rams. They weren't as good last year. Not with Godwin out. They weren't.
And worse.
They're losing 27-3. They shouldn't even be in that game, and the four lost fumbles. You know, when that game ended, I know Buck fans were screaming about the blown coverage. All right. You can't let Cooper Kupp beat you. The one guy you can't let beat you. Everybody understands that. But Lee, they lost to a better team, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl, the Rams. So, you know, what's the shame? What's the great shame? The Bucs did not play well. I had a Buccaneer coach tell me a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about the Rams game in a phone conversation, and one of the first things the guy said is, we played lousy that day. We didn't play a good game. And so that was my takeaway from that game, is the Bucs didn't really show up for three quarters. They were getting pulverized, Lee. So I think that Wickersham, what he surmised about Brady with that thing, I think that's another crazy narrative, Lee.
Well, there's two things that I think of when I read Steve's story. And, you know, the first one is, like, wait a minute. Brady was so hacked off at Bulls calling that blitz that he retired? Really? And I got to thinking, well, what ended Tom Brady's career with New England. Weren't they still in a playoff game? And a certain quarterback threw a pick six, and that sealed the deal?
Yeah.
You know, Brady's the greatest ever played, but let's not, he's not perfect. Come on now. That's number one. Number two is his picks in Steve's craw. Not craw, craw. And I don't blame Steve. And I think if you want to look at the macro sense, this is the problem with the mainstream media, period. You could sum it up in one word. Ego. These guys don't want to admit they got played. They got played by someone in Brady's camp, whether it was Brady himself or Alex Guerrero or whomever, they got played. It's really that simple. Now, I didn't ever read Jeff Darlington saying that there was a rift in between Arians and Brady. And Darlington's sources with Brady are damn near immaculate. But it was Peter King, Schefter, and others. They won't admit they're wrong. They got played. Their egos will not let them. We can see that at every level of mainstream media. Locally, nationally, internationally, you name it. Ego.
Some of them won't let it go, Steve. They will not let it go.
Well, Lee mentioned getting played, Ira, and one place you never get played is at Florida's Elite Restoration, because they're honest. And when you have a disaster in your home, a flood, a fire, mold, major mold damage, you need someone you can trust immediately, especially when there's water damage in your business, wherever it might be. You need to call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They will come out and give you a free assessment in your home, help you work with your insurance company. Owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, he has worked as an adjuster for 14 years, so he knows all the sides, all the angles of how people try to rip you off and the insurance companies try to deny claims. That's who you need to call. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. If you're a business owner and you have clients like a property manager or a plumber, reach out to Josh Martin. He'll meet with you personally to talk about how he can help you service your clients honestly in their time of need and feel great about doing it. floridaselite-restoration.com. Don't mess around.
Florida's Elite Restoration. floridaselite-restoration.com. Steve, had Brady remained retired and had Brady not played this upcoming season, Steve, then, you know, those suggestions would have a little more credibility, Steve. Had he remained retired, then we would have had to find out really what the real story was. Yeah, on the surface, or if he worked his way to another team, that would have added credibility again. But, Steve, how can you keep the narrative going when Brady, who doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do, returns to the same team, the same coaching staff, you know, Clyde Christensen's still there. Leftwich is still there. Arians is still there. Steve, if he had a problem, and Bowles is still there, if he had a major problem, a substantive problem, would he want to come back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Steve? It makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense. Now, to sort of play off that a little bit, Jason Light said yesterday that, oh, you know, he tried to downplay it. He's like, oh, you know, this reports of a rift, you know, nobody in the building here was even talking about it. You know, it's it gets blown off, these reports, who knows where they come from. You know, in my opinion, that was just such a complete line of BS from Jason Light. It was steaming. It's still steaming. I can still smell it over here. That should have pissed them off. And yeah, I can't imagine that it didn't, because you know what, Ira and Jason Light, which I'm sure Jason Light realizes this, and he was just BSing the media, but that kind of thing affects free agents. If Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin and all the, you pick a name, sees Brady left because he didn't like Arians and there's stuff going on behind the scenes, well, maybe I don't want to play for Arians. So that report effect gets into the minds of these free agents and other players around the league who might want to play for Tampa. So Jason, yeah, it does matter. And Bucks media relations staff, it does matter. You can't let this stuff out there and just, oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal when players are reading that Tom Brady left in part because, you know, the Bucks coaching staff isn't what it should be.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. But the curveball here is Brady called Gage, and I'm sure Brady called Jensen and playoff Lenny, and he probably told them, guys, this is baloney. I'm telling you right now, it's baloney. If it wasn't baloney, I wouldn't be coming back. Come play for us. Let's go.
Yeah, that's but that was point, that, that was after Brady said he was coming back. Before he was before he decided to come back, it was a big deal, and they should have, you know, tried to do something to nip it in the bud. And I guess Arians did by reacting and saying, "Hey, this is BS." But I don't know. It's interesting, Ira. You believe Jason Light that nobody cared in the building too much?
No. I'm with you on this one, Steve. And they didn't address it, Steve. They never did address it. And I'm not saying they're fortunate that Brady's coming back. It's not fortunate.
No.
You know, they built a great organization up around him, so he's coming back. And so hopefully this is now a non-issue, as it should be, a non-issue. Lee, I just read a big story. You read everything that I read, plus times three. Lee, did you read this story, like a deep dive into the marketing company behind Brady? Did you read that story?
No, I didn't know anything about it.
I think it's called Shadow Lion. Steve, did you read that? Well, anyway, thing that I'm fascinated. I'm still fascinated. I'd love to get to the bottom of it. Maybe it doesn't matter anymore. But Steve, Brady is such a perfectionist, control freak. And Steve, through this whole thing, the one time the ball got dropped, and it got dropped in a big way, and nobody's gotten to the bottom of it, is how did it first get reported that Brady was retiring? Remember that day, Steve? And his father said absolutely not, and the agent said it's premature. Of course, we never heard from Brady. We heard from the Bucks. We don't know anything about this. Something happened, and Lee, didn't TB12 put out a tweet that was later retracted quickly?
Yeah, kind of up for maybe 20 minutes.
And so, Lee,
I hear you, Sage.
The one, maybe it's a who cares thing, Brady's back, but I'd still like to know what the heck happened there. Who leaked Brady's retirement before he said it himself? You don't see that happen around Brady too often.
Hey, look, Ira, there were reports. Lee had linked to something in one of the New York papers about how one of Brady's close assistants was looking for a job, you know, somebody who manages his affairs at the time. There were other things. It could be anywhere. I read something, and maybe we're talking about two different articles. I had read something about Brady's social media company.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
That's the one.
So that's the one. Yeah, I was just, you know, just sort of how he is in constant contact with them and how they work. It was interesting. But, Sage, let's bring it back to the football field. After we take it to the showroom, and there's a brand new one coming at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there. Don't make a mistake. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan, he's got that Ira Kaufman discount for you on top of all the great savings. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, I wanted to bring this up as it relates to playoff Lenny and his contract. Mark Dominic was talking on SiriusXM NFL Radio this morning. Early morning, and he was talking about how when you have a guy who has proven himself and he's commanded respect and he is at an important position, if you lowball him too far where it's viewed as disrespectful, you run a big risk of the guy walking around the locker room telling guys and bringing negative energy, saying, hey, you know, well, I'm back, but they lowballed me, and that's what they think of me, but I'm going to show them. He said that's a not a good situation in a locker room. He was talking about it a little bit regarding Jameis Winston, who signed for $14 million for this season in New Orleans. And he said, you know, Jameis had no leverage. He's got a bad knee. What other team really wanted Jameis? Jameis knows their offense. He doesn't know anywhere else, and he's hurt. Basically, he had no leverage. But they weren't going to give him $6 million and walk around and say, hey, we gave him $6 million because we could. He said it would be a bad spot for a quarterback or any, you know, big name player within a team. So do you think some of what Leonard Fournette got, this $7 million, is a little bit of that? Like, hey, we didn't want to disrespect Lenny too much because he's been a guy who's pouted before. And he's sort of an emotional guy that they felt that, hey, we got to pay him at least at a certain mark. So he's just not pissed off.
I think that's an important point. You don't want to get into the head of a player in terms of disrespect. You don't. Lee, I think the bigger situation surrounding Leonard Fournette in the past couple of weeks, Lee, and I think this goes beyond Fournette. I think it goes maybe to the position. Nobody seems to be willing to shell out the really big bucks, Lee, They're wary of it. Certainly, you can't argue with Fournette's production. You can't. Starting with the middle of the 2020 season, he's been a top five back in this league. Has proven to be durable and very productive, and a third and a three down back that can help a team win a championship. Yet, when he tested the marketplace, I think he expected to be greeted with enthusiasm and the cash, Lee. And it didn't happen. And the Bucs didn't lowball him. So he got what seems to be appropriate for a back of his production. But in the grand scheme of things, Lee, he's watching these so-so receivers get $16 million, and he's not. I'm glad he's back. He's going to help the Bucs immensely. Vaughn is going to learn a lot from him again this season. But there's no great market for these running backs, Lee, unless you're Adrian Peterson in his prime. It's just not there.
You guys make a great point. By the way, I think Playoff Lenny is a locker room asset. He kind of turned into one of those guys the latter part of last season. And it's a great point you make about the locker room. And I will transition to Logan Ryan. NJ.com, you know, the New Jersey newspaper group, they cover the Giants and they cover the Eagles. They had a great story over the weekend. Why the Giants let go of Logan Ryan. Yeah. I mean, Nolan Ryan. Yeah, let's bring a 95, an old man who can still throw 90 in, you know. Quote unquote, this is the phrase they use. Try to make sense, quote unquote, of the Giants letting go of Logan Ryan. One of the reasons, it was a great story. One of the reasons was, and this is sort of speculation, that Logan Ryan was very tight with Joe Judge. And they started to connect the dots. Okay, they want to move on from Joe Judge, obviously. New regime, new coaches. Was Logan Ryan going to poison the locker room? Like, well, this is the way Joe Judge did it. And Joe, you know, was he going to be griping all the time because his buddy Joe Judge was no longer the coach? And would that fester in the locker room?
Interesting way to look at it. That doesn't show a lot of faith in Logan Ryan's professionalism. Certainly, I don't think he's going to be a problem in the Buck locker room. But, Steve, I don't like getting rid of my better players, Steve, as a general rule. That's not a formula for winning.
Yeah, it's pretty lousy of the Giants if they were thinking that. I mean, I sort of get it. But look at Lavonte David. He's the perfect example. He was close with every single head coach he's ever played for. He even lashed out on Twitter when they got rid of Lovie Smith, which was just a shocker from Lavonte David. He never did anything like that. And every coach has kept him, and every coach has looked to him as a leader and a rock. You would think if Logan Ryan was that guy that the Giants would have seen that. But, I mean, we don't know the situation. But when I read that, it made me initially think of, hey, Lavonte David's weathered a lot of coaching changes as a pillar of this defense, and everybody loves the guy. One thing, Ira, you think there's a chance that Leonard Fournette, well, this is what I thought, when I heard he was going to New England, I was like, this is fantastic. He's going to sign tomorrow with the Bucs. That was my thought. Because who the hell goes up to New England after leaving Tampa and says, man, this is a fun place to be. This is exactly where I want to play. Let's see. Oh, I got to meet with Mac Jones. Down there, they've got Tom Brady. Arians is fun, and he's in your face, and he'll, you know, shoot it to you straight, and he'll hug you, and he'll this and that. And then there's Belichick saying, Leonard, we really admire your the way you hit the right side. You know, I mean, I have to think that he realized I can't play here.
And Steve, to top off what you're saying, you know in advance that Belichick's not going to throw all kinds of money at Leonard Fournette. That to top the whole thing off. By the way, Lee, we were talking about this crazy narrative with Brady and Arians. One more thing, Lee, and I'm glad Steve mentioned Lavonte David because I think it's indicative, Lee, of how far some of these writers would go to build up a story that's totally exaggerated. Lee, and you know what I'm talking about. They took this straight quote at the end of the season in the bitterness of the Buck locker room, post-game Rams or whatever, from Lavonte David saying there was some crazy stuff going around down the stretch. And they took that as that he was referring to a problem between Brady and Arians when I think anybody close to the team shares my sentiment that he was probably talking about Antonio Brown. So, Lee, that's another example of how crazy this thing got.
Yeah, and I like the way Steve's thinking. NFL Films has caught playoff Lenny more than a couple times, telling people, like Richard Sherman. When Richard Sherman first showed up, he's, you know, playoff Lenny's saying, you know, this place is special. I've never been on a team like this where everybody gets along and everybody's on the same mindset and everybody's on the same wavelength. I've never seen it. This is special. And like Steve said, he goes to New England and he's like, whoa, I'm part of something special and this ain't it.
Steve, I'm just saying, we'll do another podcast this week, and we got to talk defense, Steve. At some point, we got to talk defense. I don't have any doubts that this is going to be one of the great offenses in the league. And, Lee, it has been for 2 years. So, and you know what? Even in Jameis's last year, in 19, the Bucs scored a lot of points and gained a lot of yards that year. So this offense has really been very prolific since Arians came waltzing into town. I don't have any qualms about that side of the ball. But, Steve, at some point, the three of us have to talk about the other side of the ball. There are some lingering questions there.
Well, that's what we're going to hit in the next podcast, Ira. Of course, we'll get on that defense. I actually have a strong theory for you that I'm dying to get your feedback on, but we will get that in the next podcast. The line from Lavonte David was, quote, a lot of turmoil going on in our organization. You know, people jumped on that, rightfully so. I did as well, but my first thought was Antonio Brown, because that was major, major historic turmoil that nobody will probably ever see again. Ira, be well. Of course, everybody listen to the podcast you might have missed last week at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, wherever you can subscribe. And the Sage is going to be feasting on Big Storm food, Big Storm beer. Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, Ira, I know your diet started. Enjoy your Jenny Craig and your hash brown that you get for breakfast with a one strawberry and all that stuff. So we'll check in.
There is a Big Storm salad. Steve, there is a Big Storm salad dressing on the side, gentlemen, dressing on the side.
All right, Ira, what next podcast of this week, we will check in with you on the way in. I'm sure you'll be down 1.5 and on your way, and we'll see you next time, Sage.